Good afternoon. This is Mary Jo McCurley at University Park United Methodist Church here in Dallas, Texas. And we are bringing you the series, The Wisdom of the Sages. Today we are so happy to bring you Christy Baker. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you. It's so good to be here with you.
Christy, tell us, where did you grow up?
So I was born in Midland, Texas, but my family moved to Dallas when I was about 3 years old. So I grew up in Dallas.
Excellent. And did you, went to Hillcrest, as I recall,
is
that right? I
did. I went to the Preston Hollow Elementary, Ben Franklin Junior High, and Hillcrest High School, because when we moved here, my dad made sure that his three daughters, myself and my two older sisters, were situated perfectly so that we could all walk to school.
Perfect. And did you grow up in church?
I did. So when we moved to Dallas, my mom had previously been the organist at St. Luke's United Methodist in Midland, and she was the children's choir director. And when she moved here, it was very important to her to find a church that had a youth choir, because she felt like my middle sister, Judy, needed a little help with staying on tune. So she wanted to make sure she found that. And she found that in University Park Methodist, that's for sure.
Well, that must have been with Jody Lynn then.
I believe it was right before Jody Lynn.
Was it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Brian's. Anyway, yes, it was. So, but she when she started here, she was also teaching children's choir, the children's choir director for a little while before Jonelle came on board.
Right.
So, she had Glenn Wiley and Reed Nutting and a couple other of that group in her choir when she was leading here.
Very nice.
So we joined the church in, I think it was about 1968. So yeah, we go way back.
Yeah, you do. Well, that's just a couple of years after my dad came.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so you and I have this special connection with your father, because your father was the minister when I was confirmed here at the church. And he's the person that I remember being in the pulpit from when I was very young to through junior high. Junior high, I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That.
So I watched you and your sister when I was growing up here. And yeah, so I have that perspective. And we have this shared common bond and common background that just means a lot to me. And we share that with a lot of people at our church, because we have just such a legacy-rich church.
Absolutely. It's several generations of
mm-hmm.
people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's very nice
mm-hmm.
to have. And, you know, you don't have that in all churches, so.
You don't. And the fact that my mom is still a member here at 98, it just prolongs the number of years that we have together as adults, this commonality between the late 60s through 2023. My family, and especially my mom and I, we've had this connection all our lives, and we know a common group of people, and coming to church and frequently having people who were in choir with my mom or Sunday school with my mom say, "How's your mom?" It just means so much to me.
Right.
Because they love her too.
Right. And were your parents in a Sunday school class?
So when my mom was here, really, she was here in choir on Sunday mornings, and she was a music teacher.
Right.
And so, and my dad traveled a lot. He was a geologist with ARCO, and he would travel to, back when they were initially doing discovery on Prudhoe Bay in Alaska, he was really involved in that in the late 60s and 70s. So he was out of town a lot, and so mom pretty much ran the house and raised three girls during that time of our lives. Yeah.
So he was in Alaska.
So he was in Alaska a lot.
Wow.
Or Bakersfield or the Gulf of Mexico, or yeah. He really enjoyed it. He enjoyed being a geologist. He enjoyed being on ships and helicopters and rigs out in the Gulf. And so my mom kept things going.
Well, your mom is very special in my heart.
Oh,
she's such a sweet, sweet lady.
She is. She's a good lady. Love her.
And so your was your mother working in the home or outside the home?
Outside the home. She was a music teacher, elementary music teacher in Plano, back when Plano was just really growing as a district. She just took her music from church and used it in public education.
That's probably couldn't do that today.
And then my dad retired when he was 60, and mom retired when she was 61. This was 1985, 1986. And then they started traveling with the travel ministry here at the church. So, yeah, she worked all the way through. Well, 60 was old back then. 60 is young now. So nobody I know is retiring at 60 these days.
No. Yeah. And you said you had two sisters?
Uh-huh. I have two older sisters. One is 9 years older, that's Kitty, and one is 7 years older, that's Judy. And then I kind of came along at the end, a bit of a surprise.
Good surprise.
Hopefully, yes.
And what do your sisters do?
So they're both teachers. Mm-hmm. My oldest sister was a middle school reading teacher in the Irving ISD for the majority of her career. My oldest sister, and then my middle sister Judy was also a teacher, but her husband Jay Barnes is a Methodist minister, retired now in the Texas Conference, and so they moved from kind of small town to small town as his appointments would change. So she was certified in many areas so that she could teach regardless of where they ended up.
Well, then we have something else in common, because as you know, my sister was a teacher.
Because I had your sister as a teacher at Hillcrest.
Right.
Your sister Liz was my teacher at Hillcrest for AP English.
Well, I understand she was
And I learned a lot
of
from
fire.
Her. I did my best to behave, and that was good for me.
Yeah, woe to those who
didn't.
That's right.
I
still remember people telling me the first time they got a paperback from her, and it looked like somebody had bled all over it because she had a red pen and she was marking it up.
Ooh, that's scary.
Where did you go to college?
So I graduated from University of Texas over in Arlington, and I have my bachelor's it's a business degree in systems analysis. It was kind of a new degree at that time. I graduated in 1985, and I went into computers because I loved math in high school, and it was a relatively new field at the time, especially for women, and I just wanted a job where I would always have to learn. That's kind of my drug of choice, is learning. And so I had a degree in systems analysis and came out as a programmer. And I also had a minor in geology. I guess my dad's love of that kind of got into me. So I started with oil and gas companies as a programmer. But you know, sometimes they don't tell you when you're going to college, well, if you like this subject, it means that when you get out of school, you're going to be doing this 40 hours a week. And being a programmer didn't really suit my personality. And so after a couple of years of that, I moved to Washington, D.C., worked for a software company as a software trainer. And I loved that because I was paid to travel and talk all day. And that was a much better match for me. And then from there, my career just stayed in the technology industry. With software companies, Computer Corporation of America and Verifone Software, and then larger companies, Hewlett Packard and EDS. And then I rounded out once data centers started popping up, and I worked with CyrusOne Data Center right before I kind of resigned from that career and was blessed to be able to start working in nonprofit.
So when did you come back to Dallas?
I didn't stay in DC for very long. I was there for about 2 years and came back to Dallas in 1990. And then when I came back to Dallas, I went over to Highland Park Methodist because at the time I was late 20s, early 30s, and that was when single groups in the churches started getting pretty big. And I wanted to go to church with friends my age. So I went to Highland Park for a little while, and then I heard Don Benton preach one day. And kind of fell in love with that, as anybody who's heard Don Benton preach would do. And so at that time, I started going over to Lover's Lane Methodist and got really involved with their children's ministry program. They had a phenomenal children's director, Caroline Kidd. And I was allowed to teach children's Sunday school. And I learned so much from the people that I taught with. And was over there for about 8 years and did some other really great things with the children's ministry. And then I came back to our church, transferred my membership here back home, I guess when I was about 40, and have been worshiping here regularly ever since then.
What brought you back to University Park?
I think it was going to church with my mom. Being able to do that, you know, when you're 40, just like every season, every decade in your life, you get new insights. And I thought, you know, this is a really special time. And mom's still very active over here, and she's retired. And my life was pretty busy because I traveled a lot with my job and really enjoyed that. And meeting here on Sundays and having lunch after worship on Sundays was a great way for us to stay connected and have that, or maybe even re-engage that common bond. So my mom brought me back.
Excellent. And tell us exactly how you then ended up working at University Park.
So that's a long story. That's a longer story. So for a long time, I had been wanting to work in a nonprofit, work for a nonprofit organization, work in the nonprofit entity. But sometimes when you're so enmeshed in your industry, you know, it's really hard to imagine how do I leave this for-profit, this corporate environment, and go into nonprofit. And so I did a lot of volunteer work and board work and things like that, trying to fill that need for purpose that I found myself feeling. And then I had a life change that involved going down a cancer journey. I had a cancer called cholangiocarcinoma, and it's a rare cancer of the bile duct. And that was 100% out of the blue, unexpected, when I was 50. And it took a couple of years as that did its thing, and I went through different types of treatment. And then coming out on the other side of that, I realized, wow, what a journey I've had, and that clock's a ticking. So if I really want to step out in faith, which grew a lot during my cancer journey, my faith, obviously, I just need to go ahead and make the change. So I resigned from, as my dad would say, a perfectly good job, and started really intentionally trying to move into a nonprofit position. And what was interesting was I did grow up in the choir here and sang for Jonelle when I was a little girl, and then started singing in Jody's youth choir. There was an opportunity to work part-time at Choristers Guild Publishers. And I remember seeing the words Choristers Guild on the music that we would sing in youth choir. And so I thought, oh, this sounds awfully familiar. I did not know that they were based here in Dallas. And so I went ahead and sent my resume in for a job at Choristers Guild. And I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and put Jody Lynn's name on my application as a reference, because they do publish his music, so maybe that would, you know, carry some weight. Well, and sure enough, the executive director of Choristers Guild called Jody to follow up on it, and Jody apparently gave me the okay. And so I was able to start working at Choristers Guild and learn something about the church music industry, which was really interesting to me. And at the same time, because I didn't have up until then a full-time job, and then I was part-time employed, I had time to start participating in a music ministry here at the church, and I really liked bell choir. So I had been playing in the bell choir, and in the meantime, I was active at Choristers Guild and getting to know more about music, bell music, as well as choral music. And one day, Mark Pope knew that I was looking for a full-time job in nonprofit, and something came up on staff here. And he said, Christy, would you be interested in working for the church? And it was like time stopped. I thought, what? What did I just hear? Would you like to come work for this church? I thought, man, Jesus works in amazing ways. And the opportunity was working part-time in communications and part-time in music. And I said, you bet. So that was just a huge answer to prayer. And that was about 7 years ago when I started working here. And then my job has evolved to my current role as in hospitality, as what it is now.
Well, I'll get back to that in just a second. But tell us a little bit more about your cancer journey. You had several surgeries, is that right?
Well, I had two, but they were pretty big. So I was sick for quite a while before it was diagnosed, and then when it was diagnosed, it was kind of misdiagnosed. So I only say that to encourage people to be their own advocate and pursue things when you don't think they're quite right. And just because you get news, sometimes it's not always right. So, you know, have faith and keep pursuing when you're looking for an answer to something that's going on. I had a surgery where my gallbladder and pretty much the right lobe of my liver and then my diaphragm and part of my right lung was removed. And the blessing was the tumor was solid, and so they were able to take it all out with clear margins. And that was a real blessing. Before the surgery, I'd had chemotherapy because I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. But a lot of times a surgeon will say, well, imaging is great, but you never really know what's going on until we get inside. An oncologist might not say that, but a surgeon will always say that. We won't really know until we get in you what's going on. And so once they got in me, they were like, ah, this isn't what we expected. It didn't start in the ovaries. It started in the gallbladder. So they took that out and then went to MD Anderson, because again, I would tell any friend, anytime you have a cancer that's a little off the norm, go to a place, and we're blessed to be here in Texas because we have UT Southwestern, we have MD Anderson, and they are cancer specialty places. And if you have a weird cancer or a cancer that is metastasized, that's where you want to go. So with mine, that was stage 3, because it's staged based on how far it is from the origin. So going up to my lung, put that in that stage 3 category. And so at that point, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so unexpected. I don't know what to do. I was so cared for by people at the church. People brought me meals, and people prayed for me, and people sent me cards. And when I was going through the worst of it, and I felt like I cannot pray for myself because I am so like deer in the headlights, frozen. I was just kind of frozen. I could feel the prayers of other people that wove together, and it kind of felt like a net. The prayers wove together like a net, and that's what held me up. And then every once in a while, like one day I went into chemotherapy, and I looked to my right, and chemotherapy, if you haven't ever been, in the old days, and maybe some places it's still like this, it's kind of like going to a nail salon, which it's a bunch of recliners, and you're sitting around in the same room, and you're all hooked up to tubes and things like that. Well, the person that plopped down next to me happened to be a Methodist minister in town from Oklahoma, lived in southern Oklahoma, and he was coming here because he needed to get treatment, because we have such good treatment for things in Dallas. And I thought, oh my gosh, if the Lord didn't just sit down a Methodist minister who could calm my fears, and we could have a really good conversation while I've got this poison, you know, going through my chemotherapy, and a couple other things that were really amazing about that journey, and taught me how God knows me in such personal ways, that the blessings that He gave to me were like not coincidences, were not anything but something that only your Father, who knew you exceedingly well, could do for you. Mm-hmm. When I sat down for that first chemotherapy, the nurse that was putting this tube in my chest and, you know, starting these chemicals, her last name was Barnes, which to me was really great, because my sister Judy's last name is Barnes, because her husband's last, the Methodist minister's last name is Barnes. I thought, oh, Barnes, I'll be able to remember your name, Nurse Barnes. And so that was just kind of a little, oh, well, good. And then across the room from me, there was a woman who was sitting back with her legs up, and she was reading like Architectural Digest or something, and she looked so relaxed, and she was all hooked up for her IV. And I thought, man, that woman looks so relaxed. I want to look like that. I want to feel that relaxed. And then I put my glasses on and looked closer. Well, it happened to be a woman that I used to have dinner with here at the church on Friday evenings at El Phoenix, when a bunch of single women would get together and go have dinner. And she was under treatment for colon cancer, one of those people who lived with colon cancer.
Right.
And she was just sitting back, having chemotherapy, doing great. I thought, oh my gosh, I know that. That hurt. That's Judith. And it just, you know, just little personal things like that that helped me calm down, which was what I needed at the moment. Anyway, so fast forward after that surgery, I saw some docs down at MD Anderson, and my head didn't feel quite right. My whole body didn't feel quite right because that was just a big, you know, it takes at least a year to get over something like that. And I told them my head didn't feel very well, and they said, oh, this cancer never goes to your head. Okay, no problem. So they were scanning me just to see if anything popped up again in my abdominal area and my chest. And then about a month later, I had a seizure while I was at work and passed out, woke up in an ambulance. And I passed out because there was a tumor in my brain. So this cancer that doesn't go to your brain went to my brain. And then within a couple weeks, I got that tumor removed because it was in the blessing there was it was in the part of the brain where if you have even the smallest type of irregularity, you're likely to have a seizure because that's what being over here just does. So it woke me up to the fact that there was something wrong very early. So they were able to take that tumor out with clear margins and then do gamma knife radiation, just a zap. And that was 2014. So I've been clear for 9 years.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's quite a it's quite a journey.
So thank you, Jesus. Here I am. Yeah, it changed my life in so many good ways.
So tell us a little bit about exactly what your job is at University Park.
Sure. What I do here as director of hospitality is a few different things. One, obviously, is I'm the shepherd for different hospitality ministries that we have. Our greeters on Sundays and at different events, our ushers, our memorial service reception volunteers, it's called the bereavement committee, and then our welcome desk receptionist volunteers. Those are all hospitality ministries, and so I'm their staff liaison, kind of their shepherd, helping to do anything that I can to support them in their ministry of creating a hospitable environment to be welcoming and to let people who come to our space know that we're expecting them and we are glad that they're here. That's the hospitality part. And then I also have the opportunity to work with guests and engage with them on a more one-on-one relationship as we offer different ways of maybe becoming members to our guests. And then there's another part of my job, which is scheduling the spaces in this facility. And the hospitality aspect there is we schedule space for lots of community groups and other nonprofit groups during the week when we're not having our Sunday morning worship things here, and even on Sunday afternoons, on Saturdays. We try to use our space and open it up to our communities and our neighborhood as much as possible. And I get to do all that scheduling. There's contracts that need to be done when there are children in the groups, like basketball groups in the basement or Bible studies from higher that come over. We always have any adults that are with children go through Ministry Safe training, just like we would our own volunteers. So I get to meet a lot of people who do a lot of really good things, and that's another way of being hospitable, to welcome people in the neighborhood into our space.
Well, I don't think most members of our church realize how much our church is used by the community.
That's right.
And I don't know what we would do without you.
Oh. I'm very grateful.
So tell me, who has influenced you, if you had to say?
I'm pretty basic. I think my parents, my grandparents, and so my great-grandfather on my mother's side, if you go eight greats back, he was a circuit rider in Pennsylvania when he came over from Germany. And so I would say that heritage, I come from a mother who was a Methodist and a father who was a Methodist, and they were at the First Methodist Church in Tipton, Iowa, where they grew up. So I'm from a long line of Methodists, and I believe that that has influenced me a lot, even more than I probably know, because it's just kind of in our DNA. And then because I've lived in Dallas most of my life, I'd say some childhood friends also, because people that I met when I was 6 years old, especially my friends Amy and Jenny, we've just done life together in so many ways, and watching them care for their elderly parents, care for their children, their grandchildren, inspires me tremendously. And then so many people growing up in a church and living your life in a church, I don't think I am even aware of the people who have influenced me from inside this building. And maybe that's because we're all heading in the same direction. You know, we all read from the same Bible, even though we have different interpretations, and we all are praying for each other, and we are all, and so it's just kind of layer upon layer.
And what would you say the philosophy that you have had that's propelled you through life?
That's kind of a hard question for me. I'm not, I like to learn. And so I guess for me, a couple of things. I always like to keep on learning, but my philosophy is basically from my faith. Some of the things that my mother used to quote to me when I was a little girl, for example, in Matthew 6, how about do not worry, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall wear, what you shall put in it. Don't you know your father cares more about you than even the beautiful lilies in the field? Don't be anxious about tomorrow. So my philosophy of life has a lot to do, and I would say is just ground on the same things that your philosophy of life is probably ground on, which is the scriptures, the fact that we are loved by a God that we can't even conceive to understand, that we have, that life in the community is, the community of faith is so integral to what we do. To me, it's probably so ingrained in my upbringing here in the church that I don't even see it.
And what do you see as the future of University Park?
So I love a lot of things about this church, but one of the things that I especially was grateful for when I was going through my cancer journey was being able to go into our sanctuary and experience a place of holiness that was so set apart from what was going out on in the world out on Preston Road. So I do hope and pray that we will continue to offer that kind of that sanctuary as a feeling, as a spirit of place, and as a place. I hope that we will continue to be a sanctuary of peace and holiness, and a place where this is set apart from the world where we go out and try to earn a living and solve all of the world's problems in. So a place of holiness, a place of peace, and a place where people can come and be loved, be guided, be challenged. This is a place of love and peace for me, and I pray that in whatever way, shape, or form that it needs to be 50 years from now, 100 years from now, people will still come to find peace and guidance and love here.
And we are about out of time, so let me just ask this last question. How do you want to be remembered?
My needs in that area are pretty basic. I want to be remembered as a good friend, as a good sister, as a good daughter, as a good neighbor.
Amen. Thank you so much, Christy. We are so grateful that you have blessed University Park family with your talents and came out of the corporate world, which you brought lots of things to this nonprofit that some people don't have, lots of talents. So we're glad you're here. And we appreciate you listening to our podcast and hope you will be with us next week. May God be with each one of you until we meet again.